vanity project. C'est la vie, vanity project. Quiet please, it's a vanity project with James and Bridie.
Dear listeners, welcome to Vanity Project. Stop laughing, James.
No, you did a good intro and then you panicked because I was reacting to it.
Every week I'm like, I'll do the intro with confidence. And every week I immediately panic. But hello, welcome to Vanity Project. We listen to albums from very famous people who are famous for things other than their musical talents. And then we see if the musical, you know, forays are worth all the hype. Oh, and boy howdy, do we have one hell of an album to listen to today. I'm joined, as always, by James Colley. Hello.
Hello, Bridie. It's good to see you. I was going to give you my life update, which you did not ask for, but I'll give it to you anyway, which is I just flew with a baby, my baby, for the first time.
Wow.
Flying back from Adelaide. And the only story, she was remarkable. She was sleeping in my arms from the takeoff.
Wow.
To the point I thought, we need to get one of these at home. It'd be great if we just have one of these we could shove her in whenever she wouldn't sleep. But we were about, so it's an hour and a half flight from Adelaide, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're about 45 minutes in, right around the halfway mark. She's sleeping in my arm and I'm on the aisle. And there's a woman two seats over who leans over and goes, I'm sorry, I need to go to the bathroom. And I have never before thought of another adult to stop and say to a stranger, you should have fucking gone before we left. Anyway, this week we are talking about a hell of an album, Bridie. Macho Man, Randy Savage's Be A Man. And to talk about it, we, of course, have to bring on a guest. And I want to introduce him the same way he introduced himself in a writer's room this week to a room of people who already knew him. It's Triple J's Dave Woodhead.
Yo, yo, yo. Of course, you got to put the branding in every time, man. It's in the contract.
Always on.
Look, yeah, well, this is the thing. If you don't say Triple J's Dave Woodhead, Kingsmill comes up to my desk, slaps the shit out of me. It's
like... We've got to get the word out about Triple J.
I'd never heard of it before this.
Yeah. He slaps me in the head with a little drumstick.
Well, welcome. I'm so excited to have you on the podcast, and also just want to just start by apologizing deeply to you for probably ruining our friendship by making you listen to this album.
Oh, man. Look, I mean... first and foremost, thank you for having me on the podcast. No, look, it's like one of those, it's listening to this album is one of those things I've always wanted to do, but never had a reason to do it. So this is actually, because I was listening to it on the speakers in the house. Like, my roommate's not here today. He's off. But like any other time, I feel like it's worse to get caught listening to the Randy Savage album than like jerking off in the lounge room or something. It's like, are you listening to Randy Savage? No, dude, I'm jerking off, man. It's all good.
I was listening to it in an airport lounge next to my father-in-law who was holding a sleeping child. I'm like, this could only go. Imagine if, like, the baby kicks off and what am I doing? I'm blasting Randy Savage instead of helping.
I listen to it. I often like to, you know, listen to the album a couple of times and as I'm writing my notes. And then I just like to have it on as a bit of background noise so it, you know, seeps into my brain. I've been working on a couple of things for International Women's Day, which is coming up next week, and it felt so wrong to be listening to Macho Man Randy Savage's Be a Man as I'm prepping for these corporate gigs for International Women's Day. I'm a terrible feminist and I apologize to all women.
To be fair, as we'll get into the album, you'll see that Randy Savage actually wrote a couple of songs for the lady.
He did.
Bridie. We usually, we're at the top here, we usually will ask our guest first, what do they know of this person? But I think Dave, like me, probably has quite a decent working knowledge of Macho Man Randy Savage. And I would love to know, Bridie, what do you know about Macho Man Randy Savage?
Look, it's a very good question, and I understand why you've asked it, because when you said this would be the album that we would listen to this week, I was like, who is Randy Savage? And then as soon as I Googled Randy Savage, I was like, oh, I know exactly who this is because his, like, He was around for such a long time. I didn't quite realize how long his career was. And also I was like, oh no, like you are so referenced in so many facets of pop culture that he's in my brain without me even consciously realizing that he was in my brain. So I did not know that he was a baseball player before he became a professional wrestler. That's something that I learned this week. But even like his little entrance and like catchphrases and all that stuff, I was like, oh no, you're there. You're buried in my subconscious. I was surprised.
There's always room for the Macho Man. Dave, are you a big wrestling fan?
Huge wrestling fan. I mean, obviously, like, you know, Randy Savage was really popping off in the 80s, so before I was born and stuff. But, you know, yeah, I mean, Randy was always, like, when I get into my teenage years, I really turned to, like, an internet wrestling fan. Like, I would, like, read and I watched the YouTube videos and shit. And so, like, when you look at Randy Savage and Hulk Hogan, obviously the more mainstream star, like, that's the instant recognizable. Mm. But I think real wrestling fans are like, Randy Savage is the best.
Beatles and Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
You've exposed me then because Hulk Hogan all over. Knew all about Hulk Hogan. But then I was like, oh, this is like the sworn enemy. I've done so much learning and growing this week, you guys.
They used to be best friends, Brady, if that helps.
They had like a 2 or 3 year storyline in wrestling about it's incredible their relationship, because it's like Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage started teaming up together as a tag team, became the Mega Powers, and they were tag team for a year, and then Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage's wife kind of started not like fully liking each other, but kind of like, you know, like helping each other.
Looks across the rings.
Looks across the rings. And then one day, Randy Savage, fueled with rage, jealousy and rage, broke off the team, beat up Hulk Hogan, and set up for a main event of WrestleMania. So these guys are one of the greatest wrestling rivalries of all time.
This is Shakespearean stuff.
But 100%. What, like, this was very formative for me, because this was deep in the era of the Video Easy 10 weeklies for $10.
What a time.
Selection where every member of my family would get two options, and I would always get a tape from somewhere in the 90s wrestling era. And there was, like, this is, my dad and I used to watch an awful lot of wrestling. Actually, my dad and I watched enough wrestling that as a Father's Day gift a few years ago, I took him to see the wrestling when it was in Australia and it was touring. And I realized that my dad is a wrestling fan with a rugby league fan's mentality in that, like, he doesn't go for the heroes or villains foil. His enemy is the referees, no matter what's actually happening. And there was a point in the show where dad is there. There's a row of 8-year-olds in front of us, and someone, the bad guy, hits the good guy with a chair, and dad shouts, "The ref saw that! He saw that!" Yeah, dad, I reckon he might have. I reckon he probably saw that.
That's sweet.
I recently saw my first wrestling event, but it wasn't like WWE or anything. It was like local, I think they're like PWA. And like, you know, watching it all the time as a kid and like on TV and shit, I thought like when I'd go, I'd be like, yeah, I know all the tricks. I know. But you get mad at the ref. Like, you really could. And the ref plays it up. Like, the ref will be like working on the turnbuckle, and then the other guy hit him with a low blow, and everyone's yelling. And it's a small. And this also, the wrestling show was at the Factory Theater.
Awesome.
And hell yeah. You know, like, the Factory Theater, like, it's a really quiet room. Like, you can really hear everything.
Yeah. So, yeah, like, I performed there before. It's really quiet the whole time.
Yeah. I've never had more. I've never heard a deeper silence than my first Fringe show at the but you just hear like kind of men like kind of wrestling around, and then you just hear like some dude in the audience go, "This ref's a fucking dumb cunt," and then the whole crowd go, "Yeah!" And the ref has to look around like, "What?"
I think this might be the sport for me, because it feels the most theatrical of all sports, and I really enjoy that. I have a question for you both, because you obviously know more about wrestling than I do. How unusual is it for an aging wrestler to release a rap album?
This is insane. Like, as in, you at best, you have someone, if you do very, very well, you get like 3 films that bomb. Like, that used to be... Even Hulk Hogan got to play a Santa Claus, a weird Santa Claus for a film, and it went badly. Like, your exceptions to rule are John Cena can actually act, and, of course, The Rock. Like, those are your exceptions to the rule. But on the major part, you finish wrestling, and if you live and you aren't in horrible, never-ending rehab, you do three films that do badly.
Yeah.
Oh, Batista is also in a bunch of Marvel films and stuff like that. It's like, it's starting to break the mold a little bit now, but it's not a good life.
Yeah, it's starting to kind of be like, you know, you got your John Cena's and your Rocks and Batista's. But, like, yeah, back in the day, like 2003 of this album, you know, this is a guy who started wrestling in 1974. So he had like a 30-year career in the ring. Like, he should be in a wheelchair, especially because his finishing move was jumping from a top rope on his elbow. It's crazy that anything fucking works in his body.
Yeah.
But he's still living in, well, not now. R.I.P. R.I.P. Savage. But, I mean, 2004, he still was able to spit those bars.
Wild.
Brady, I think it's important to know, other than this album, at this time, probably the biggest post-wrestling move was one of them became the governor. That's about it. Jesse the Body Ventura.
That's right. Who
then changed his name to Jesse the Mind Ventura.
Ooh, that's someone with real range and depth there. We love that. I've actually always wanted to go into politics and become a governor, but I do not have the upper body strength, so I've had to cast that dream aside. So what I'm getting is, it would have been more fitting for him to go do a few movies or have a reality TV show, but a rap album, especially at the age of 51, this is unheard of. We're taking a world by storm already, which is a great place to start.
When we join Randy Savage on this, he has made his comeback, and his comeback is in the Spider-Man Tobey Maguire movie as Bonesaw, the wrestler that, like, fights young Spider-Man and gets his butt kicked. Like, Spider-Man before he's Spider-Man. It's a really good performance. Like, when you go back and watch it, of course, he's playing a pro wrestler, but it's really good. He plays up the part very well. It's almost like he's been doing it for 30 years. So this is a very weird choice. And perhaps that is exemplified by the start of this album. Now, we're not going to go into the intro just because it's not that interesting to play. But what you need to know listening to it is, the introduction of this is a series of news reports about Randy Savage making this album. Except they're not real, because there was obviously no press about him making this album. Because why would there be? This is not an era of it's a fun story on Pedestrian or whatever. This is the era of, oh, Randy Savage has an album? Oh, yeah. That's weird.
Yeah, and I like though in the intro, all the men, like, the men voices, like, going, like, whoa, this is going to be crazy. This guy's awesome. Well, there's other guns going, like, this guy's a hater. But all the women in the intro is just talk about how hot he is.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That all the women just are just going on going, yeah, I know he's 50, but I'd still fucking, like, it's crazy.
I reckon let's jump right on in with the first song after the intro, I'm Back. People wanna know if Michael's still in the ring. People wanna know if Randy's doing his thing. Everybody's talking, wanna know this and that. So I'ma tell you right now, Randy Savage is back. Wow, that was I'm Back, the first track off Be a Man from Randy Savage. Now, we are very blessed today on the podcast to have Triple J's David Head. And I would like your best analysis of this song as the music and radio presenter that you are. Talk us through what we just heard, please.
Okay. Well, look, so one thing I'll give this, I'll start off with a compliment to Randy Savage and this album. I think this, as an intro to the Randy Savage album, it does exactly what it needs to do. So it accomplishes its goal of saying, hey, like, the first line is, I'm the wrestling king, but now I'm spitting lyrics. Cool. And now I know exactly. All right, because I'm fucking confused as fuck. Like, so I'm glad I'm there.
It also really sets the, like, Star Wars scroll of here's exactly the situation you find yourself in.
Exactly. Like, I think one of the greatest intros of all time for an album is Wesley's Theory by Kendrick Lamar for To Pimp a Butterfly, because it tells the story. It kind of, like, encapsulates the whole album, the first song, and but it kind of you can lead on from. And Randy Savage does his version of that, because what the rest of the album is him constantly going, "Hey, I used to wrestle, and now I rap." Like, that's really. I'll just also say this about the production. I actually don't mind the like when you take it back to 2003. You know, I could hear it like a Jadakiss or someone, or like a you know.
Well, with his voice, that's when it's coming in. Like, if you took out the lyrical content and you just have his timbre and this backing track, it's a DMX B-side.
Like, yeah.
It's not a bad spot for him to be in. And this is a remarkable song to me. Like, it does, like you say, it is just purely... Like, there is a lot of self-justification going on.
Yeah.
Being like, look, I'm doing this. It's in a medium that no one expects.
Yeah.
He specifically acknowledges that no one saw this coming.
This song to me is like the equivalent of in this essay, I will. Like, he's, you know, like he's setting out, as you say, our expectations with the intro, and then this is what's going to happen. And it's like quite a surprisingly fun start to the record.
Yeah, and it's a thing that kind of keeps coming into the through the record about Big Three, which is I'm assuming it's the record label.
Yep.
It kind of this is I feel like Big Three is the brains behind his organization. I don't think Macho Man wanted to do a rap album. I think he had no interest or even care. But I think Big Three would like, hey, we'll give you a bunch of money to make an album. And then Macho Man was like, all right, fuck it. Like, and then, like, kind of like, it just seems like the whole time that Macho Man, like, this came through on his desk, and he said, you know what? I'll give it a shot. And he really does give it a good old shot, this whole project.
Well, it in fact came about because the chairman of Big Three Records at the time was managing a boxer in Randy Savage's hometown. And the two got to talking one day, and Randy Savage told the chairman how much he liked LL Cool J and Eminem. And then the chairman of Big Three Records obviously smelt an opportunity and was like, hey, let's make your dreams come true and get you in the studio now.
Wow.
I think so. There's a couple of things that are important for me when we go into this. I think the first is he is not rapping as Randy Poffo, the actor who performs as Randy Savage. He's acting as wrestler Randy Savage, as if, like, this is, in the wrestling world, this is what you call work. There's a camera on, it's work. You might think you're watching them backstage, but he's in character, he's doing his character thing. He really, which speaks to our point, this is not a passion project that the real Randy had in his heart all along. This is just Randy Savage coming off the top rope straight into your ears.
He's obviously a method actor here.
he really is. And, like, because later on, I mean, I'm sure he has a bar in it somewhere. I think this first song is just all about, I can't believe I'm doing a rap. I can't believe I'm being this. But he raps later on in the album about winning, like, I won the championships. They could never take it from me. I'm like, yeah, that's because someone wrote you to do it. Like, it's, you know, like, but I guess if you are listening from it as, like, this is Randy Savage, not, you know, not the guy playing Randy Savage. This is Randy, like, yeah, he's still, you know, he did win them.
Yeah, it's like it's the true. Bruce Willis album should have him say, like, songs about, did you see what I fucking did in Nakatomi? Yeah.
Hey, so we've had an introduction, we've had a song announcing that he's back and he's getting ready to rap, but we're still not into the album proper. We've got track three now, which is Are You Ready? Just to really make sure we're primed for the rest of the album. Here it is.
It's the Savage Land with the master plan. I got you waving your hands saying, now, everybody's kind of shocked and amazed that Macho Man got you hitting the days and I'm about to start.
Are You Ready? As Brady said, the third song to really set that we're starting this album. Like, you can't say, like, I'm back and then are you... Surely this has to be the other way. Are you ready? I'm back. The other one's like, I'm here. Oh, are you ready? Were you ready for this?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's like he walked in on us And we probably weren't ready. We were still putting on our shoes and stuff. Like, oh, sorry, no, Savage, I just have to have a quick shower. Sorry, man.
He's the first guy to show up at a house party and it's dirt early. Like, we're still clearly cleaning the lounge room. And it's like, you can pitch in, but that just makes it more awkward.
Yeah.
However, I'm always grateful to the first person at a house party because until they arrive, it's not a party. So for that, I allow it. Look. This is not my favorite song I've ever heard, but it has been stuck in my head since I heard it. It's very like that little hooky chorus, you know, like it's not super original lyrically. There's a lot of like put your hands in the air, wave them like you don't, it just don't care. But it's kind of fun and campy and I really like it.
I was shocked going into this that this is from 2003, and I had to, like, look at this a couple of times because when I was first listening to it, he is rapping like someone from – there is a distinct era in rap where people weren't quite sure how you rap and what you rap about, where it's a lot like the only rhyme has to be right at the end of the sentence and it can be a song about I need a new toothbrush. Like, it doesn't matter what you're rapping about. And I was, when I was listening to this and that guitar kicked in, I was like, oh my God, he's actually a bit ahead of the curve here. This is the kind of like Limp Bizkit-y kind of feel we're going to get 5 years from now. Then it turns out, no, that's a Limp Bizkit-y feel we got 5 years before this album, that he is the only one keeping alive after Woodstock 99. Like, this is, by comparison for his hip hop peers, and they are his peers, he is releasing this in the same year that Jay-Z does the Black Album, Outkast does Speaker Box and The Love Below. Like, it's not like we're still figuring out how to rap.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny that that's Jay-Z's like retirement album.
Yeah, exactly.
What a crazy, like, how horrible would it be to be a rap fan in 2003? Jay-Z's quitting, retiring. Don't you worry, Randy Savage, the 51-year-old wrestler's gonna lock it down for the East Coast.
Oh, that's a really good point. And you know something that I loved as well? Like I said before, there's a few lyrical tropes that happen in this song. One of them is when he talks about ripping up the mic, right? Which is something we've heard many times in many songs, but I've never heard someone threaten to rip up the mic like confetti, which is possibly my favorite lyric in this whole song. I don't know what that means, ripping up the mic like confetti, but it sounds graceful.
It sounds like it's a little bit of a party flair to the usual ripping the mic analogy.
It's incredible lyrical work. Like, he's obviously performing all of this like a backstage wrestling interview, and sure, that is what you should be doing. But, like, surely when you write hands in the air, part of you is like, now I know what I could put next, but I refuse. I'm going to swerve on them.
I like that. In fact, a couple lines after the confetti line, and this is Randy Savage's words, not mine.
yeah, says, I can guess what you're coming up with here.
You know exactly what's going on.
You should have never got me started in this rap game. Now you're
dearly departed. That's retarded. What first caught me is like, all right, Randy Savage just dropped an R-bomb. But the reason why he dropped it is to say how dumb it is that he's a rapper now. Why would you, and it's your second song and you're already saying that, guys, this might be a bit fucking, the what I'm doing right now.
It would be fine if that was like the end of the album where it's like, you know what? This is Mal Meninga political career style thing where he has a couple of tracks to go, all right, are you ready? Actually, no. This is a shockingly bad idea.
Now look, okay, we could keep talking about this song because like I said, as bizarre as it is, it's fairly catchy. We've had the intro just to make sure, you know, we're getting prepared for the fact that Randy Savage has done an album. Then we've got I'm Back just to make sure that we know that Randy Savage is doing a rap album. Then we've got Are You Ready to just, you know, politely ask if we're ready for at Randy Savage's rap album. And now we've got Hit the Floor, which opens with, okay, it's time to get the party started. So we've finally hit the moment. Let's hear it. Coming right back.
back at you, Macho Man. DJs in the club, slam the jam. Coming with the heat that's sizzling hot. When they drop the speed, it's blowing up the spot. I told you before that I'm a tear it up. And if I tell you again, I'm about to kick some butt.
That was hit the floor, and I was not ready.
Damn. Yeah. Well, two things. This is when I was going through by listening through the album. This is where, I mean, what's this track for? I was like, I was losing steam already because it really felt like that Itchy and Scratch, that Poochie episode. Like, when are we going to get to the firework factory? But I like how it went. Macho Man coming through on his verse saying, coming right back, ya, it's back at ya, it's Macho Man, DJs in the club, slam the jam. Like, he's now begging for DJs to play his songs. Like, he's like, dude, it doesn't come off like, you know, like Kanye would be like, yeah, damn, or like DJs, they all have it lined up, they play my songs, I'm building. It sounds like Macho Man's bringing his CD up to the DJ going, just please, dude.
just put this on. It's a blank CD, and it says "cool songs" in Texter.
I work. Me and Big Three, we work really hard on this.
Whenever you do a song with someone whose name is DJ Cool with a K, it's a real, like, you put minimal effort into this, but you've definitely got the job because your name was DJ Cool.
Yeah. Oregon Macho Man really liked that. He was like, ooh, yeah.
Whoa.
You are cool.
A healthy disregard for spelling. There's nothing cooler than that. Look, the only thing that I can tell you about the song is that my senses have been assaulted by the sheer amount of synthesizer layers, which is not necessarily a bad thing. I love synthesizer as much as the next person, but as soon as I heard it, it was like I lost the last 3 minutes of my life because there was so much synth in it that I just lost all sense of time and consciousness.
There is one thing I love about this track, and I think is Macho Man's strength that he should have lent into for the rest of his musical career, however long it lasted, which is he is amazing as an ad-lib guy, and he got to DJ Cool's first. Like, usually you just get a bunch of brandy showing, oh yeah, and but there's just one part where they go party all alone, and it's Randy Savage all alone.
You can party by yourself, the party all alone.
All alone.
It's what I'm gonna hear in my head anytime I'm perfectly alone in the world ever again. All alone. All alone.
And it just feels like this, like. This song is exactly the same as Are You Ready? But it just felt like this whole album, like, especially this, it comes really apparent in this song that Macho Man, unfortunately, doesn't have much to say for this rap record. This seems like you could have, because this 16 tracks on, how many tracks? Yeah, 14 tracks. You could easily cut it down to 11. Like, take out this one, and Are You Ready? And you flow on a little bit better. I don't know.
There's an amazing part in this song. Look, I'm going to say it dates it, but I'm pretty sure it was dated in 2003.
I think I know exactly the line you got.
Let's go right now and see what's up with Macho Man. It's exactly what I wanted. The opening of MachoMan.com is a grey square that says Adobe Flash Player is no longer supported. And then you can buy Macho Man Funko Pops underneath.
Oh, gosh. It's so funny about that one line as well, because that is the closest thing Macho Man gets to wordplay on this album. And he still quite doesn't nail it. Like, a lot of the album is like, hey, I'm going to... it's very literal. Like, I'm in the club, I'm going to kick your butt, and y'all ain't ready, and let's have a party. This one, it's like on your CD-ROM, MachoMan.com. It's like, yeah, that's two kind of computer things. Hell yeah.
All right, let's go on to the next track. Like you say, there's a few here that we can just... Skip through a few. Let's jump to Macho Thang.
Yes.
Ladies dancing, having a ball, got their hands in the air, no one's on the wall. Saw a dime at the bar about 5 feet tall. She gave me the number and said, give me a
call. Macho thing.
Macho thing.
Track 8.
Can I just say, I think no lyric has elevated the art form more than chilling at the club late night, it's time to have fun, work hard, play hard. That's the slogan. I love everything about that couplet. What a confident way to open a song.
Originally, it was chilling at the club late night, time to have fun, got to avenge my uncle who was killed as the shogun. But he had to change it for a Western audience, and I appreciate it.
What do you make of the song, Dave?
Oh, look, this is
Macho Thang.
This is where the album got me back, to be perfectly honest with you, because I was so desperate to hear anything other than Are You Ready or Let's Get It Going. This one's fun because this is a bit of a concept song, you know? It's like, and again, you know, it's not much of a concept, but that's the thing about Savage's song. In the first line, if he has an idea of where we should be, he tells us. We are in the club and we are about to have fun.
Yeah, we're in the club. Everybody's moving with their hands in the air. I like the girl over there with the long blonde hair.
Yeah, the long...
This is an amazing, amazing concept. You're in the club and Macho Man Randy Savage is trying to fuck you.
Well, and that's the thing. He never talks about how... It's all the girls want to fuck Randy. Like, all the girls... Like, imagine being in the club in 2003. You know, you're 19 or 20. And you're like, oh my God. Macho Man Randy Savage, and he's got his black bear dinner and shit.
It is like every time we hear his voice come in, like there's young woman on vocals, Aja, I believe her name is, but on vocals. And then whenever his voice comes in, I always get the feeling of like when you hear something like that happen in a bar and you kind of have to step in and be like, all right, let's just be here to make sure this creep isn't doing anything untoward. Like there's a real like, all right, please leave these children alone, you creepy, creepy old man.
Because you have to imagine the people that Randy Savage is hanging out with. I believe Randy Savage probably was the most handsome out of his group of 51-year-old men. But he's probably hanging out with other wrestlers and managers and out of shape drug addict wrestlers who in 2003. Yeah. It's and the club is like the shittest bar in Wisconsin, like or some shit. There's one line in the second verse that I really love. Where he goes, me and my crew at the bar, big pimping, ladies pointing because they're interested. They step up to us to put in their bid, and we don't mind because they're looking lovely. I like that he kind of starts it off like, oh, we don't mind because it, like, if these chicks were ugly, we'd have a fucking problem. Like, it's like a weird threat. Like, Randy, just be cool, you know?
Lovely is such a great term too. What is it? How sweet and soft it is.
It's like a whole anthropological study, this song, and I think we're not actually giving enough credit to the social dynamics on display in Disc Club. There's actually a lot to learn here about socialization. I think there's some really interesting points being made. I have to say, I agree with you, Dave, that I feel like this is where the album picks back up again because I was struggling the last few tracks. But Macho Thang and then the next song, the title track of the album, just got me back in a big way. So let's get into it. This is Be a Man. Be a man, oh, come on, don't be scared. You're running from Macho, that's what I heard. Be a man,
oh, come on, don't be a chump. I never thought Hulk would go wild like a pump. That's Be A Man, Hogan. Again, great production, actually. This track thumps.
This track does rule. This is probably the best song on the album.
It is so funny as well to me to imagine, like, you're Hulk Hogan, but you're the actor who plays Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
And you're home in your mansion. You've been retired for a while or doing WCW or whatever the hell he's at this point. And suddenly... Macho Man Randy Savage has released a diss track for you. Now, Hulk Hogan has had his own musical endeavors that we'll get to at some point on Vanity Project. Dave, we'll have you back for that in season 2.
Would love to.
What did you think of this Hulk Hogan diss track?
Well, first and foremost, I think it was good. I think it's again, like tail end of this album, it's just nice to hear, you know, Randy kind of like doing something different. He's made the club song, and now this is like, as a, you know, in rap, beefs is where really you can make yourself a legendary rapper, mm-hmm. legendary MC. The target being Hulk Hogan is a bit weird, but you know, because it kind of it feels like with these disses he has, they're all things that we could just go, well, Randy, you did that too. Like when he goes, "You're dancing in tights is like a ballerina." Brother, like, did you see what you came to the ring in? He had a big fucking dress on and, like, the tighter tights, you know?
I think he just heard, we're just off, like, the Jay-Z SummerSlam beefs and things like that. I think he just thinks if you end up with a photo of your opponent dancing as a ballerina, you win the rap battle. Yeah. He's like, oh, I've got it.
We're not giving enough respect to the physical strength and grace that ballet can bring to the ring, for starters, but also all for a diss track. But, you know, like Hulk Hogan has no right of reply because he's not a rapper.
That's
you
it,
know,
yeah.
Like if you're going to call someone out lyrically, surely you're going to pick someone who can like engage in the argument with
you.
Yeah, it is. This has some fantastic odes in it, though. Like, the line, "'cause like Rodney Dangerfield, you get no respect," is 10 out of 10. You're changing schools if someone says that to you.
That was a bar.
"Your movies and acting skills are both trash. Your movie's straight to video. Box office can't stand. While I got myself a feature role in Spider-Man."
Yeah.
I mean, just listing your CV at this point, you can't argue with it. He's got a feature role in Spider-Man. It's the truth.
It's very true.
We talked about before. He's fantastic. Yeah,
an iconic role. And I think that is a bar. I also like this one where he goes, "Come on, that phony fight, the Hogan spanked you fast. But when I challenged Hogan to a real fight, he passed." Now, this is in reference to The Rock fighting Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania, like WrestleMania 18, which is like, you know, a dream match that Hogan won in the ring. So I don't really know what Randy's trying to say. It's like, oh, dude, fucking Rock could actually beat you up. Well, sure, but it's wrestling. Like, sure, like, fucking, dude, you, it's like you, and it kind of betrays Randy, Macho Man Randy Savage's character as him rapping in character by saying that, you know, I don't know, it's just weird. It's
also something like, Brady, you should know what he's being dissed for here is there's a regular occurrence in the wrestling world where you invite back someone from the golden era who is well into their 60s and you have a foil of the day disrespect them, and then they pull out that great finishing move we all remember and they've still got it. And
right.
Like, what he's saying here is, Dwayne Johnson, you didn't beat up a 65-year-old man in public because you were paid not to. Take that, Hogan.
Yeah. And then he's like, but when I challenged Hogan to a real fight, he passed. Again, these guys are 50 years old. And I'm sure Hogan has done wrong, but like at that point, you guys are both 50. You've known each other for 20 years. If whatever problems you have, do you have to really have a actual fist fight when you're both millionaires?
We're going to skip past the next track, which is Get Back, which I believe is a Beatles cover, and then we'll just go straight into Feel the Madness.
I'm coming at your fools at a whole different level. Bearing your haters, so go get the shovel. When they ask who's the big wolf, you know who's the baddest. Put your hands up, come on, feel the madness.
Keep rolling, 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 rolling. Come on. That was Feel the Madness, Randy Savage. Do you like rock and roll, folks? Brady, do you like rock and roll?
Oh, I love rock and roll, and the intro to this song has it in spades. There's so much. Actually, it's a constant through this album. There's a lot of, like, thrashy, loud, aggressive guitar. The whole vibe of his vocal performance to me, not just on this track, especially in this track, but over the whole album, is very much like villain in a video game.
Mm-hmm.
It's really like super theatrical. It feels like the big bad boss in like whatever level that you have to defeat. It's not any kind of rap performance that I've heard before, which is not a bad thing. It's just not what my ear was expecting.
I love he comes out of the gate hard, but like so it's quite a rocky intro and says, "Can you feel it? Nothing can save you. Macho Man Randy Savage about to pull a caper." No actual tough guy in the world uses the word caper. So like, you better fucking watch yourself because we're pulling a caper around it. Like, you'll never hear Jay-Z being like, "We used to be on the corner pulling capers." Yeah,
Randy Savage has exposed himself as Puck from A Midsummer Night's
Dream. Yeah, it's like going, "Yeah, me and my crew are about to get up to hijinks. Cool, man. What are you?" All right, what are you?
Oh, you little rascal?
You little fucking, all right, mystery crew, fucking Scooby-Doo, motherfucker.
Okay, but guess what? I know everybody's waiting for it. It's been very aggressive and loud and that villainous performance, but we're about to get a softer side with What's That All About, Pretty Lady.
When I wake up in the morning, first sight I see is your face. And that feeling that we share can't be replaced. Even when we fight, I know we're gonna work it out. Cause the last thing I wanna do is scream and shout.
He's so shit. It's a real, like, Randy Savage does not do two takes.
Yeah.
Just like, we'll make the line fit. We'll make the sketch fit. It's fine.
He'll make the word foul rhyme with the word smile if he has to.
This is scarier than any of the aggressive songs in the whole album. This is disgusting.
Yeah. But you know what's crazy? So this is like, I think, when I was listening to this, I was like, I think this is Macho Man's favorite song on the album. I think this is his. Because
I agree.
This is like, all right, so this is more for Brian. I think, James, you might know, like, kind of the background of, so the storyline of Hulk Hogan loving Miss Elizabeth, that kind of got turned into real life feelings. Like, Macho Man is on, like, kind of was known in backstage of being really protective of his girlfriend, Miss Elizabeth, which kind of crumbled their relationship and then all of that. But this guy is really psychotically, like, dependent on women. And, like, it's really kind of strange to hear him, I don't know, get real deep like this.
But it is clear from the lyrics as well that, like, whatever relationship we're talking about is not a healthy one. There's, like, sometimes it seems like this is meant to be. Other times you hear you saying, "Get away from me." Then it talks later about, "You're not a fair weather friend. You're always there for me." Then it goes on to say how you're never there for me. I'm like, what is, there's a lot of push and pull. Yep. There's a lot of complicated feelings here.
I do love the part where he says, "I want to keep you happy, not just financially, but mentally, physically, romantically."
Yeah.
Firstly, great collection of terms. But also, like, that, man, you've been through some times if your first assumption is financially.
Yeah, yeah. Randy obviously is having a lot of time loving himself. He can't see much worth in himself.
It's also great, like, this seems, he doesn't break character for this, but it's a crisis of confidence for the character. It's that thing of, like, you know, "I'm usually slamming cats, elbow off the ropes in a wrestling match, but you bring out another side of me."
You know, and when I was listening to him the first, when he said, I know it's funny because I'm usually slamming cats, I thought he was going to go for a bit of a wordplay on, like, "Now I'm about to slam some pussy" or something. Like, that's what I thought he was going with.
It feels like the hip hop place to go.
It feels, but this, it does. So that was the weirdest way. Like, no, this is really Randy. He doesn't want to be crude on this record. He is speaking from the heart.
That's interesting that you say that as well, because you go back on this and it's a Will Smith. It's a hip hop album with no cursing. He really isn't like, he's playing his G-rated bad guy character. You're right. Like, this is more suited to someone who would be the antagonist in a Spy Kids movie than necessarily an actual hip hop album.
Yeah.
But the man's got a code.
And he never says, when he's like going to fight you, he always says he's going to kick your butt. He says kick your butt so many times in this record. But then why in the second track? The second track or the third, he dropped the R-bomb. You know, so it's like the one time he chose to swear, it was, you know, and that definitely had like a, like, well, back in my day, you know, we just said it. That's what doctors say. Like, but it's like, Randy.
Oh my God. It's a Black Eyed Peas, use it.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I think we want to take to the final track here.
Mm.
The final track is almost like Adam Sandler's 100% Fresh. Suddenly you're shocked by a moving tribute song. This is a tribute to the real life dead Mr. Perfect. And it's called My Perfect Friend.
Oh.
You remember Mr. Perfect? He was always in command. His greatness was so obvious that all could understand. He brightened up a locker room. He made the time go by. He had personality, gregarious, not shy.
That's My Perfect Friend. Listening to this, I'm like, this is 90s wrestling, I'll Be Missing You.
Yeah.
It's real, like, you can see Diddy walking down the road.
Yeah, and I tell you what, this is kind of like, it's a bit annoying, this song, because it's like, it's the last song on the album. So it's like, I could just imagine when Randy Savage was having his album listening party, everyone was in the club listening to him go, this is fucking trash. I can't wait to make fun of this cunt for this. And then they heard the last song and it's like, oh shit, now we're going to be nice to him. Like, it's definitely like the worst kid, like, I don't know, it's like the worst person. It's like, oh, fuck. All right, well, now we have to be sad for you.
But, like, imagine heaven is real and you are there and your friend releases, has written a song for you to mourn your death at this fucking place. You're like, okay, is this all I get? Is this...
Yeah, that was my thought. Like, the sentiment is so nice, but, like, God forbid if I die, like... Please, you guys, write me like a catchy.
Yeah.
No, I'm recording this and I've just replaced you, Mr. Perfect. Brady Cordell.
Hey, would you like to know some controversy and gossip, which is 20 years old?
Yes, yeah. Please.
So there's a theory that Justin Timberlake's song What Comes Around is a ripoff of this track. Justin Timberlake has not officially commented on whether or not that is true. But a lot of fans of the song were like, clearly JT has ripped off the Flavor and then some of the flow.
And Sexy Back comes from Macho Man is Back. It's the same.
Oh my God. That would be incredible if Timberlake was like, he rips all his ideas off from the Be A Man record.
He got a phone call. It's your cousin, Marvin Timberlake. You know that new sound you're looking for?
Well, maybe that's where the album found its success, in inspiring other artists. Because if we're going to talk about the critical reception of this track, to be honest, there wasn't a lot of critical acclaim. In fact, in the...
It slept on? They slept on
it? They slept on... Oh.
All except for Justin Timberlake, who was laughing all the way to the bank. I guess with the days before the internet in a big way as well. Like, it would be a very different situation now if, like, a famous wrestler released a rap album. There would be so much written about it.
I reckon you could get away with it now. Well, I reckon, like, the right person absolutely could.
Probably like 2 years after this or a year after this, John Cena released a record, like a rap record, but that one made sense a little bit more because his character on TV was a rapper, and also, you know, not that John Cena is any good, but he was at least 29 when he made the record, so he was a bit, and it was cool.
Closer to the scene.
But
we'll bring you back to talk about that.
It's a good. Because I mean, and I'll be honest with you, there's actually some slaps on the John Cena record that are like are genuinely, I think, good songs.
This album had a beautiful discovery, Bridie, a Wikipedia entry that just says, critical reception. This album was not critically acclaimed. Two citations.
But then, you know what's crazy? You go on the Randy Savage Wikipedia page and you click under music tab. It says, Be a Man, which has received critical acclaim. So on his official page, on his page, it says it did. And then on the record, it says it doesn't.
100% wrote that itself.
I love that as well. Like, not any quantifiable critical acclaim. Oh, no. Yeah, we got critical acclaim. Who from? Oh, just criticalacclaim.com. Yeah. Like, yeah, that's it. Happened for sure.
People, well, yeah, people got around it.
This,
yeah, people acclaimed it critically.
This brings us to our most important question. Dave Woodhead, was this album a mistake?
Look, it is. It was a mistake. After listening to it, I because when you're listening to the album, I know he reminds you that he's a wrestler, but the album is so bad that you now hate him and everything he's ever done. And it does kind of tarnish the legacy, because it's like, you know, it's just, it's fucking awful. And even these, like, The Perfect Friend, which is the tribute, he actually doesn't, like, the only reason why he liked Mr. Perfect, according from the tribute song, is that he was a really nice guy. And he doesn't actually, it's not like, Mr. Perfect, I remember when, you know,
all
you helped,
time
yeah.
we shared the things we did.
Yeah, oh, I remember when your kids, you helped my kids, or blah, blah. There's no personal, it seems like if a friend of a friend died. And you're like, oh, yeah, I met them once, dude. That's awful, man.
Sorry. That sucks, dude.
Yeah. they were cool. Like, that's the vibe, so.
And then I wrote a song about your friend.
Yeah. And then when it's not that, it's just, you know, rap tropes. And it seems, it's like a rapping grandpa. It's just not good.
Now, I would listen to an album called Rap and
That's what you should have called this album, to be honest.
100% lean into
although
it.
Although you have won me over with the idea of a tribute song to an acquaintance. Very funny concept. We met once at a party and that's kind of it. But God, I'll miss you when I remember that you existed.
I remember when you gave me a diary. That was pretty cool. R.I.P. bro.
See, at least this is more authentic. It's beautiful. James, to you, was this album a mistake?
Yes, because he had just done Spider-Man. Like, that's a triumphant... Like, Randy Savage was back. He had a triumphant return. It was a really good performance. Everyone loves Bonesaw. And then he released... It was real... Oh, Randy Savage can do no wrong. I'm so sorry. I was completely incorrect about that statement. Randy Savage can absolutely do some wrong. Mm. And it is this album. This sucks. And, Bridie, we created a playlist for Vanity Project that you can find in the show notes for this show. And you will find it doesn't feature a single fucking song from this album, partly because this album is not even on Spotify, probably pulled in a Joe Rogan protest a la Neil Young and Joni Mitchell. But it sucks. They suck top to bottom. I'm so upset. I love Randy Savage. Bridie, was this album a mistake?
This is the greatest album I've ever listened to. Oh, look, I found one quote from Bleacher Report, and I think this is quite a good point, which sums up my feelings on the album. The most great in rap music comes from a performer who isn't speaking his own language. Savage wasn't true to himself here. It sounds like he found a hip-hop phrasebook and picked out a handful of lines at random. I think that's my feeling. Even though his performance is so theatrical and fun and weird and like a cartoon campy villain, he also doesn't feel completely at ease with what he's saying, so I don't feel completely at ease listening to it. So in my eyes, it's a mistake.
I would like to put a caveat on mine that this album, had it come out in 1993, would not have been a mistake. Exactly the same sound, everything else with production, yes. That he put it out a decade too late was the mistake.
Yeah, I think it would be a whole... I think you're right, James. It'd be a whole different conversation. This is 1993. I think it would have, like, actually been quite it would have been bigger than it is, and then also it would have just been like, I reckon back in 93 people would have gone, this is fucking pretty good.
Justin
Timberlake from the Mickey Mouse Club would have been listening to this track.
It has that feeling of, you know, like when you're at a party and someone who actually plays the guitar, like pulls it out, it's annoying. But then like there's a douchebag who goes, oh, I can play a guitar too. Duh, 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 duh. I can play guitar. That's what, it's like Macho Man the whole time is making fun of rap music by going, oh, look at me, I can do it as well. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You can't.
Era where, like, it's built for that era when Rodney Dangerfield and Mel Brooks and whoever else thought, oh, it's just saying things over a beat, and I say things for a living, so I can do this.
Yeah.
But it's fucking 2003, this is a post 9/11 album. We got to get out of here. I'm going to get worked up. Thank you all for listening. Follow the show, rate and review. Thank you, Dave, for being a part of it. We love you being here.
Thank you. I loved being here as well.
Come back to chat Cena or Hogan with us, dealer's choice, whenever you would like.
Whenever you guys are as well. Oh, I can't wait.
Woohoo! I can't wait. Don't forget to check out the podcast. It is, even though I tried to give it a catchy name, James insisted we call it the Vanity Project Podcast Playlist. You can find it in the show notes. Check it out, and we're sorry in advance for ruining your Spotify album.
Bye.
Bye.